Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Open-mindedness and curiosity about people's beliefs and a love for music, art, dance, and literature. These were qualities that Akbar the Great, the famed 16th century Indian emperor, was known for. And this weekend, his story will come alive on stage with the Dances of India original dance theater production, Nine Jewels, Music, Art, and Splendor, in the court of Akbar the Great. Joining us to talk with us about it is Nartana Premachandra, the president of Dances of India. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Nartana, why did you choose to write about Akbar for this year's production?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I actually was fascinated by Akbar even as a kid because in his court, he invited philosophers from all these different traditions to talk about the meaning of life, about the universe. There were Christians and Jesuits, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Zoroastrians, Buddhists. There were little-known sects, the Sabian sect, which was a Semitic sect. There was a Syrian Christian sect. And he was genuinely interested in discussion, in talking about the universe. So years later, I wrote about him in my first novel, and a professor of mine at Washington University, Dr. Kevin Herbert, he was a professor of classics and a World War II vet, and he read it, and he said, you know, I think more people need to know about Akbar in the States. He's not very well known here unless you study Indian history.
Mm-hmm. And this story, mm-hmm. what you described, why did that appeal to you?
The story
of Akbar, like the philosophers and uh-huh. all of that.
It's because I've always had a philosophical bent, even when I was young. I just always have loved learning about different religions and cultures around the world. So I don't know, something about that. And also the fact he genuinely treasured music and art and painting. He had a palace for painting. He translated the great manuscripts from like Sanskrit into Persian, into Greek. I mean, he was very, very interested in art. I mean, he had great musicians in his court, and we're going to have a professional singer sing as one of those musicians, dance. It was truly a court of a lot of magic, I think.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned classics mm-hmm. and literature. Uh-huh. But I understand the way that you came to the story of Akbar mm-hmm. and other stories that you've talked with us about in Indian mythology, uh-huh. Hindu mythology, mm-hmm. that it was through comic books.
Yeah,
how did the comic books depict what you're describing?
Oh, they're just wonderful. These are called the Amar Chitra Kathas, and they were created by a gentleman in India in the late 60s, who said Indian kids need to know their own stories. So that's how I learned the bulk of my mythology, but also history. They do a lot of comics on the history. And I don't know, a lot of Indian kids, like teenagers, don't necessarily know about these anymore, even though they're available online. But they're very lavishly illustrated. So it brings to life that world. The Mughal court, there was poetry and music and, there was fighting and battles. He was not a saint by any means. He was a 16th century king. But in terms of his open-mindedness and willing to learn from different traditions, it's extraordinary, actually. There's a quote, actually, I can read to you if you'd like to
share.
Just a very short quote. People know about Queen Elizabeth I of England, and he ruled at that same time, and also the same time as Philip II of Spain. And he wrote a letter in which he said to Philip II, "We associate at convenient seasons with learned men of all religions, and thus derive profit from their exquisite discourses and exalted aspirations." It's a beautiful thing. And I think a lot of people in the States just don't know about Akbar, whereas they know about Elizabeth and about Philip II.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to welcome another returning guest to our conversation. That's Isaiah DiLorenzo. He's a St. Louis actor who plays the title character in this year's Dances of India production. It's great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Isaiah, how much did you know about Akbar coming into this?
Nothing.
Where did your education begin?
With Narthana. When she mentioned that this was a project that was percolating in her imagination last year, mm-hmm. when I had the pleasure of working on the last project. Mm-hmm.
And what appealed to you about this particular historical character?
I think that spirit of open-mindedness and curiosity that I could relate to as a non-Indian, and that I could sort of bring that into the production and act as a window for the audience, that I could be sort of embody this historical character, but also serve the purpose of inviting the audience in through my own eyes at this world of dance and music.
Mm-hmm. And have you found yourself in describing to people what you've been doing in rehearsals, like being somebody who's telling people about Akbar's story?
I think my what I'm wrestling with is more the hybrid nature of this project, that it's literature and it's dance and it's drama and poetry, and it's education as well. There's young people involved. So it's balancing all these different things. And hopefully, well, I'm pretty confident, I'll say, that it is fun and entertaining and interesting and truly one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. Narthana, the way that Dances of India and you as the writer of these original productions have approached these annual events, right, mm-hmm. performances. History, this is the first time that you're taking on a historical, right?
Yeah, this is actually the first time we've done a whole production on a historical character.
And why is that?
That's a really good question. I think the stories have to grasp my imagination. And I mean, there's a lot of wonderful stories of queens and kings in India you can do. But somehow this year, that story just appealed to me. We also received a NEA grant for this last year, but then it was rescinded.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I was thrilled, you know, that they saw merit in it. And then I asked Isaiah, and he said, yeah. And something else that's really cool that I don't think Isaiah knows is when I was writing my novel with Akbar, at that time, I didn't know Isaiah, but he was learning dance from my mom in the 90s, late 90s. And so now, like, whatever, 30 years later, he's playing Akbar, which is super cool. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to go back to Isaiah? Because last year we talked with you, too, about the production for 2024.
Right. It's such a different character. Last year he played a prince in Dreams of the Dark Prince from the Indian epic, the Mahabharata. So he was a Hindu prince. But he really was interested in the stories. I mean, he really loved being in this world. And that is, I mean, we work with a lot of guest artists from the West before, but they're not necessarily interested in the stories. And he really was. So we asked him about Akbar. He said yes. So we were just delighted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What has it been like, Isaiah, to acquaint yourself with this art form?
It blows my mind to watch these dancers move in this form. It's so specific and so beautiful. But there's also the element of meshing with that world, you know, and finding how I can invite the audience in and walk them through the story of it, which is more my bent these days. I'm not a dancer anymore. I've been acting. And so trying to take the dancing they're doing and move it into storytelling, mm-hmm. you know, like a comic book, you know, that like mm-hmm. each frame is always moving the story forward. Mm-hmm. So and sometimes I feel like I'm sort of dragging things in one direction or another in my own way, and other times just letting the dancers tell the story.
Mm-hmm. And as I recall from our conversation last year, Isaiah, you had taken a long break then from dance. So getting back into it again, what's that been like?
I'd say I don't see it as getting back into it. I see it, I'm just trying to tell stories. I'm just landing. Each project is different, and it's like I'm landing in a different planet. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then trying to make sense of it, that yeah. everything is unique, and every single project is its own world.
Isaiah is dancing much more this year, though. He's dancing much more in the production.
Yeah. You've opened the door to some things here, Isaiah. Well, and as you hear Nartana, uh-huh. Isaiah describe, you know, what the experience has been like for him, and with this particular production, mm-hmm. Why has that been an asset, especially in bringing historical characters to life? Because mm-hmm. he's not the only one on stage. There are other people too.
Right, right. Well, he's wonderful to give, like, the character of Akbar. He has that gravitas, but he also has a lightness, and he has the dreaminess. From what I've read about Akbar was very multifaceted. I mean, people really looked up to him. He was very majestic. He also had a soulful, dreamy, poetic side that was very real part of him. He had a mystical side. And I thought Isaiah could play that role in depth. And I mean, that's why I was thrilled when he agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm. What other mm-hmm. historical characters are part of this production?
Oh, so there's Tan Sen, who is a genius musician of Indian music. So Sanjay Shantaram is a professional singer from India. He's going to sing the role of Tan Sen. So we have live vocal within our production for the first time.
This
is another first time, yeah.
And this is mm-hmm. the 48th year you've done this?
48th year, yeah. And Thomas Proctor is a local dancer, and he's playing the role of Birbal. Birbal was Akbar's first minister and dearest confidant. And there are lots of stories about Akbar and Birbal, and they're fun. You know, Elaine, this production is turning out to be more lighthearted than I envisioned. Mm. There's a lot of fun in it as well.
Yeah. And the song, mm-hmm. it is a piece of music from the 16th century?
Tan Sen will
be performed. Tan Sen.
So he will sing a raga that is like a melody that is from that era. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, he will, and he'll sing some other tunes as well.
And did you seek mm-hmm. him out, or did he happen to?
Well, he's a wonderful he's a wonderful classical Indian dancer. And then a couple of years in India, I saw him sing live for one of his performances, his students' performances. And it was just so beautiful. And that kind of put the idea in my head. And then we thought, why not? He could be Tan Sen. And he's never played a character in a production where he sings. Mm-hmm. This is the first time for him.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's nice to have so many firsts in our 48th year of
existence. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Does it feel like a production that marries history with the arts timely in a way that you had not anticipated? Because this is something that you've been thinking about for the last year, right?
Yeah, I definitely think it's timely. It's because I think in our society now, everyone's kind of retreating to their groups, whatever they identify with. And I was born in the U.S. and I don't remember it being like this, so tribal. And so I love that Akbar really wasn't tribal. Birbal, his first minister, was Hindu. And his primary wife was Hindu. He also had a Christian wife and a Muslim wife. So so he was not tribal in that sense.
Okay.
At all. Yeah.
Maybe ecumenical. I don't know.
Maybe that's the word. I know.
And before we move ahead, you know, there are, even after, 47 years, there are people who are not familiar with classical Indian dance. Uh-huh. What questions do you most often field, Nartana, about what classical Indian dance is and how it compares with what's so beloved across the world in Bollywood productions?
That's a great question. So Bollywood has its roots in classical Indian dance, but there are different styles of classical Indian dance, and we tell stories with our hands. There are a lot of different hand gestures and expressions, and sometimes these are difficult for people to grasp. So we work really hard at making sure that our audiences understand them. Our audiences are general. They come from all over, all ages, all backgrounds. So we give an introduction before the dance, and we work hard to choose our pieces so that there's something people can grasp from, mm-hmm. from all backgrounds. That's really important to us.
Yeah.
Because for most of our existence, there was a very small Indian population in town. So we always have been geared towards everyone because my dad loved dance and music of all kinds. So he was passionate about bringing this to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isaiah, was it difficult for you to apprehend and to sort of master those unique movements of classical Indian dance?
Of course. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. What I have in my favor is that this year I'm playing the king. And if the king doesn't feel like doing it, he doesn't, you know? And there's moments where, like, the choreography is, like, getting on the ground or deep knee bends. I don't know that the king necessarily always feels like doing that.
Yeah.
And so I luxuriate in that role, in that sense.
And last year when you were on, you had talked about how your role was your role, and you were playing the title role, but so much of what you were doing was kind of responding to and being in conversation with other performers. How has that also been true for this particular production?
I think even more so this year, in that I'm trying to bring the things I'm learning as a stage actor into this dance studio and to engage the dancers in kind of an actor's sensibility, mm-hmm. that is relating to one another, not just doing the choreography, but doing the choreography so that it tells the story and is interacting on an emotional level with the people you're sharing the stage with, as well as the audience.
Your work with Dances of India, how has that affected the way that you go into other roles or your acting roles?
I think it's to teach humility, to learn how to walk into a room and respect that it's its own space and that you're a part of a tradition, and we have a responsibility to receive before we start mandating how our own rules, you know, that we'll learn the rules so that you may then break them, you know. So that's been a privilege, and it continues to be a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Nautana, mm-hmm. you mentioned that you grew up reading and hearing about the history of mm-hmm. Akbar's court, mm-hmm. as well as Indian and Hindu myths, uh-huh. and then great epics. In talking with your students now, uh-huh. do you find that most of them are familiar with these stories and with the way that the Indian population has grown? Mm-hmm. Have you seen changes there too?
It's interesting. Our students aren't necessarily familiar with the stories. And I'm wondering if that's, when I was growing up, you know, especially when I would spend the summers in India, you had one channel of television. And I remember, like, playing outside like everyone does, playing mm-hmm. outside, but reading these comic books, reading for hours. And now you can watch videos, I mean, like cartoons of all these characters. But I find generally in our company, the kids, they may know generally Rama and Krishna, they know, but the stories behind it, which are wonderful, they don't necessarily know the story. So this also is a good opportunity for our own dancers to learn these mm-hmm. stories and these histories.
And ultimately, what is the message that you hope mm-hmm. will resonate most strongly with audience members this year?
Gosh, I hope it's to always be really open to learning about the cultures of other people. You know, like Akbar was Muslim, and there were Orthodox Muslims in his own court who didn't like him because he was so open. And so, you know, that's a running current through history. And I hope we always learn to be humble, like Isaiah said, to be humble and learn from people, learn about other languages and cultures. There's so much joy in that. And mm-hmm. so I hope that's something people can take away from this year's production mm-hmm. and the magic of music and dance and all that.
Uh-huh. Nautana Premachandra is president of Dances of India and the writer of Nine Jewels, Music, Art, and Splendor in the Court of Akbar the Great. Isaiah DiLorenzo is a St. Louis actor who plays the role that Dances of India production headlines. Isaiah and Nartana, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with this weekend's performances.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much. We're delighted to be here.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.